Psalms chapter 78, and we'll read verse number 37 through verse number 42. Psalm 78, verse number 37 through 42. And I'll read the first verse there, and you join me on the second, and so on, from verse 37 through verse number 42. Psalms chapter 78. For their heart was not right with me, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away, and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away, and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. Now go to Psalms chapter 103. One verse, and that will be verse number 14. And let's read this verse together out loud. Psalms 103 and verse number 14. Ready? For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And that is our text verse this evening. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And let's pray. Lord, once again we come before you. And Lord, it'd be very easy to make this one of many Sunday nights that we've spent here at the Longview Baptist Temple. Lord, help us not to do that. Help us not just to make this another Sunday night. But Lord, help us to sit on the edge of our seat spiritually and help us to open our hearts and our mind wide and, Lord, beg you to do something in our lives. Lord, it could be a sermon like this that just makes someone go on and serve you. And Lord, if we're not paying attention, we may miss that eternal truth that you have for us. Lord, I pray for every mom and dad and every teenager, every college age, and everyone sitting here, that Lord will hunger and will thirst for you to do something in our life. And Lord, if there's someone here that's not saved, they do not know they're going to heaven, may they find the greatest gift of all, and that is salvation in Jesus Christ. Please empower our preacher as he comes. Bless the time we're about to spend together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Psalm 78, verse 39, the Bible says, but he remembereth that we were but flesh. I love it. I love it. Psalm 78, verse 39. Can you say that together with me? For he remembered that they were but dust. I'll go to Psalm 103 and verse 14. Dust. He said flesh. I got ahead of myself there. Psalm 103, verse 14, please. Psalm 103, verse 14. You thought you had a bad Bible, didn't you? Psalm 103, verse 14. For he knoweth our frame, and underline this, please, he remembereth that we are dust. I have here a jar of dust. Boy, we've got a dirty house. Came out of a vacuum cleaner. And this is dust. This is somebody's grandfather here. But God says that when he looks at you, that he remembers, disciplines himself, reminds himself, it says pickles on the outside, but he reminds us that we are that we are just but dust. This is not a hot sermon tonight. This is a family chat. I want to talk to you. Because I think if we are to be God-like, Christ-like, we're going to have to get over something. We're going to have to remember that each of us are dust. And so I want you to listen. I don't think I'm going to holler at you. I may, but I don't think I am. But I want to talk to you pastorally tonight, and I hope that you'll listen to me carefully. Father, help me to help. I want to be a blessing. I'm not here to hurt. I'm here to help. And so, Holy Ghost of God, I yield myself to you. I claim the mind of Christ, and I ask you to flow through me tonight and help me to help, please. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. Look this way and listen carefully. God gave to us as human beings something. Now, don't make me get your attention. I want you to give it to me on purpose. God gave to us as human beings something the rest of God's creatures do not have. God gave us a spirit so that we would be able to communicate with God. Yes, we have a body. Yes, we have a soul. And yes, we have a spirit. Then God says, I've given you that spirit. You're not like a dog. You're not like a cat. You're not like an animal. You have a spirit. And I gave you that spirit so that you and I could fellowship, so that you and I could communicate. Then God says, while we are fellowshipping, while we are communicating, I promise you that I will not forget that you are but flesh. While we're walking together, while you're talking with me, while you're praying to me, while we're fellowshipping back and forth, he said, I want to make a commitment to you. I want to promise you that I will not forget that you're trapped in a body. Now, this is very important. I want everybody to listen. That you're trapped in a body of flesh. God says, when you talk to me and I talk to you, I will on purpose discipline myself to remind myself and recall that you will not always succeed. God says, I'm going to remember that you're part animal because of the flesh. Humans have physical appetites, but they also have spiritual appetites. And God tells us he will not forget the fact while he's talking with us. You get up in the morning, you get on your knees and you pray. When you're praying and talking to God and your spirit's communicating with God, God says, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to promise you that I'm well aware that you're going to fail. I'm well aware that you're trapped in this flesh. And I will not forget that you are dust. Man chose to sin, not God. With that sin brought sickness. And God says, I'm not going to forget. And he takes that thought to a higher level and says, I will remember. The word remember, circle the word remember there. That word means discipline, mental discipline. He is saying that I am going to discipline myself. Discipline myself. I'm going to cause myself to recall that you are but flesh. Funny, isn't it? God on purpose forgets our sins. Listen to this. This is wonderful. God on purpose forgets our sins after salvation. I said, this is wonderful. God on purpose forgets our sins after salvation. He has Alzheimer's when it comes to our sin. But on purpose remembers that we are but flesh or dust. Sin brought sickness. Sickness brought weakness. Sin brought sweat to labor and to work. And that brings weariness or being tired. And God placed a curse on the world. So we have grief. We have sorrow. We have failure. And we have hurt. So man is flesh and must return to dust. And the in-between time, you become born again. You become God's child. God disciplines himself to remember that you are still trapped in that flesh. So God disciplines himself to remind himself that you get weary. So you say, God, I'm going to meet you at 5 o'clock in the morning. So you get up at 5:05. Maybe the alarm went off. You shut it off. Maybe you shot it. But you got up late. And you rush to your prayer closet. And you rush to talk to God. Hey, son. Hey. Sit up straight. I'm preaching you tonight. This is not nap time. Put your arms like normal people. There you go. Unless you're in love with yourself, want to hug yourself. And look at me. Listen to me. I've got something I want to tell you. I done broke my promise. I hollered at you. So God remembers that we are but flesh. So you run to the prayer closet. And you say, dear God, I'm sorry. I worked over last night, maybe, and I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. And here's what God says. God says, I knew you were dust before that you didn't get up on time. God remembers that we are dust. So God is saying, I will not forget the other side of you. God says, while I'm fellowshipping with you, I will remind myself that you are trapped by your flesh. God says, I want you to become more like me, but while you are becoming more like me, I will remind myself constantly, discipline myself, to remind myself that you are but flesh and dust. Hey, it might do you husbands some good to remember or remind yourself that your wife is but flesh and human and dust. It might do you wives some good if you'd remind yourself that your husband is nothing but trapped in this flesh. Is anybody listening to me at all tonight? Is trapped in this flesh and is but human. It might do you parents some good to remind yourself that your children are trapped in flesh and they are but dust. It might do you teachers some good in the schools to remind yourself that your students are but trapped in flesh and dust. Might do you professors some good in the college to remind yourself that your students are nothing but students that are trapped in this flesh and fight a battle all the time and remember that they are but dust. Might do you Sunday school teachers good to remember that your students are but young people trapped in the flesh and are but dust. Might do you church members good to remember that the staff around here is nothing but a bunch of men who love God but trapped in bodies of flesh and are but dust. Might do you employees some good when you go to work tomorrow to remember that your boss is nothing but a human being struggling just like you're struggling to make it and is trapped in a body of flesh and is but dust. God is saying, until the day you have your glorified body, I will, listen now, until you have that perfect body. Are you listening? Are you listening? Until you have that perfect body, until you have that glorified body, God says, I will remind myself constantly, I will remind myself that you are but dust. It might do us all well to remember and remind ourselves of everybody else's flesh and everybody else being but dust. If you really, listen to this statement. If you really want to be like God, listen to this now. If you really want to be like God, then take those who are weaker than you and remind yourself that they are weaker than you and that someone else is stronger than you and you're weak in their sight. So if you want mercy from them, you need to give mercy. I'll pause while you say amen now. We offended God with our sin. So much so they had are you listening? So much so that he had to turn his back on his own son on Calvary. But God still saved our souls. And on purpose said, after I've saved your soul, I'm going to remind myself that you, let's bow our heads please. I don't know who's doing the talking, but we can't have it. We can't have it. Period. If the child's going to talk, take them to where the children are. You help us now, please. Folks have got to hear the message tonight. Father, help me now to help. I want to help. I desperately want to help. And so, Holy Spirit of God, you use this message tonight, please. Please, it's your message, not mine. I'm just the messenger boy. And Holy Spirit, we need your help. Help me to help now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now listen carefully. If that's the case, that God on purpose saved our souls. Look this way. Look this way. God on purpose saved our souls and left us trapped in His place. Why didn't He just kill us, take us on home? Because we've got a work to do. We've got a work to do. Angels are not going to win souls this Thursday night. Angels aren't going to do it. It's going to be saved people going to win souls this Thursday night. So God, and during the week, not just Thursday night, but every day, getting people saved. But God says, I'm on a purpose going to remember that you're trapped in your flesh and you are but dust. In order for Him to fellowship with us, listen carefully now. Would you agree with me that God's perfect? Would you agree with me that God's almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient? Would you agree with me? Now listen carefully. God cannot fellowship with us unless He takes in consideration our flesh. Listen to me now, and I'll help you. God cannot fellowship with you and with me unless He takes into consideration our flesh. That's why God said, although you've offended me, I will remind myself that you're trapped in that flesh. Kids, some of your parents are getting older. Health starts to break down. And it might do you well to remember on purpose and remind yourself that they are but dust. Kids, sometimes your parents make mistakes. And God knows we all make mistakes. I'm sorry, God knows all of you make mistakes. But may I remind you, you've only got one daddy. You've only got one mama. And I don't care. And by the way, Miss Perfect, Miss Prissy, Mr. Perfect, I'd like to know how perfect you are. I'd like to know you kids that are quick to point out your parents' imperfection. Please march out your perfection. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see it. And yet you treat your parents like they're dirt, and you treat them worse than animals. And the truth of the matter is, somebody ought to shake you into reality and realize your parents are but flesh and but dust. But they're still your parents. Wives, you ought to stop and think about the load your husband carries just to pay the bills and keep a roof over your head and food on the table. And God knows you eat a lot of food. You could decide to be like God. Mentally discipline yourself to remember that he is but dust. That husband comes home and he's tired. He sits in his chair, gets his paper, starts to read it. Next thing you know, he's sawing logs. And next thing you know, boy, you never talk to me. Well, good night. The fellow's tired. He's been working all day and sweating all day and toiling all day. And you ought to appreciate. I got a splinter for preaching this. What in the world? This job is a dangerous job here. But I'm just saying to you that somewhere in here, you ought to stop and think about quit being so selfish in your relationship with your husband. Husbands, you ought to stop and think. The load that your wife carries with her automatic washing machine, an automatic dishwasher, husbands, an automatic vacuum cleaners, but husbands, you ought to stop and think about what's that old saying: a husband works from sun to sun, but a woman's work's never done. That's a lie. No, that's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. Women are constantly working all the time. And husbands ought to stop and think about that. Sons and daughters, hey! Stop and think about the sacrifice of your mom and dad. Church members, you ought to remember that your preacher is nothing but dust, trapped in a flesh and dust. I don't understand this. I can be your preacher for 25 years and do one thing wrong and you'll run off some dead church somewhere. I've never understood that as long as I live. What about all the good that's been done? You better thank God. God doesn't treat you like you treat other people. You better thank God. I need some help tonight. You better thank God that God doesn't treat you like you treat your preacher, like you treat the staff, like you treat other people. College students, you ought to remind yourself that the administration is nothing but just trapped in flesh and dust. And by the way, you couldn't do any better yourself if you had a college degree. You can't run a hot dog stand. Parents, you ought to remind yourself often that your children are but dust and trapped in flesh. God does that, and that's a God-like quality. God says to us, I have not forgotten that you're flesh. I'm going to fellowship with you. But God is saying, in essence, here's what he's saying, I cannot fellowship with you. It is impossible for me to fellowship with you as deity unless I take in consideration that you are flesh. If I take that into consideration, you can fellowship with me and I can fellowship with you. God says to us, I've not forgotten that you're human. I've not forgotten that you're not deity. I recall on purpose, mentally, I discipline myself so that I can have the ability to fellowship with you. But you also have a fallen nature, a flesh you are trapped in, and others have flesh that they're trapped in. And God is saying, if you want to be in true fellowship with others, then you are going to have to say, I understand that others are also trapped in flesh, others are also dust, and I must take that into account if I am to fellowship with them. Listen carefully. God says, I cannot fellowship with you unless I comprehend that you are but flesh. You, my friend, cannot have
good fellowship with other human beings unless you take in consideration that they themselves also are trapped in flesh. Husbands cannot have a good relationship with their wife if they do not stop and consider that their wife is trapped in that flesh. The husband and wife relationship can only be strengthened if we stop and realize, I realize my wife is nothing. She's not perfect. She can't be. She's a woman. She can't be. My husband's not perfect. He's a man. He can't be. None of us are perfect. But listen, the key to fellowship is mentally disciplining yourself to say, I understand they are but dust. Boy, somebody ought to be hollering amen here. Our flesh gets tired. Their flesh gets tired. Our minds get tired. Their minds get tired. I become weary. They become weary. And God says, I understand that. I can't fellowship with you. Hey, tomorrow morning you get up, you get ready to pray, or pray before you go to bed tonight, and you get ready to pray. Are you going to bring your perfection to Him? I don't think so. Are you going to come to God and say, I've been perfect all day today? I don't think so. I think when you come to Him, God, and God will fellowship with you, by the way. God fellowshiped with David, who committed adultery and murder. God fellowshiped with Abraham, who lied. And I'm just saying that God comes down and fellowships with us because He must discipline His mind to say that I understand that you are but a human being trapped in flesh, and that's the only way we can fellowship. By the way, that's the only way you can fellowship with other people also. Flesh gets tired, and God says, I remember that. The flesh is tempted, and God says, I'm going to discipline myself to remind myself of that. The flesh gets weak, God says, I'm going to discipline myself to realize that. The flesh commits sins, and God says, I'm going to discipline my mind to remind myself of that. Hold it. We expect everybody to be a full-grown Christian, but that's not true. That's why the Bible says, grow in grace. That's why He talks about us being babes and talks about the milk of the Word. Everybody's to grow. Now, you expect everybody to be perfect, but you're not. Please listen to me. I'm going to help you. You expect everybody to be perfect, but you're not. And so what happens is you have no fellowship. You want to get restored to your mama, whom you're mad at than a hatter, then you realize she's but dust by first admitting that you're nothing but dust. You must accept the fact of the flesh and dust, or you cannot have fellowship as God intended for there to be fellowship. You mad at your daddy tonight? It's because he's flesh and because he did something in the flesh or in dust, and you say, that's it, I've cut him off. But what about you? All the things you've done, should others cut you off because of the things you've done? I don't think so. I think a little mercy and a little forgiveness might help. But God says, remind yourself on purpose that all folks are, that new Christians are just that, new Christians, not full grown, that old Christians are that, they're just but dust. You could be godlike tonight and remember that others are but dust. Wives, please listen. Hey, listen to me, son. Wives, remind yourselves on purpose of your husband's humanity. Husbands, remind yourself on purpose of your wife's humanity. Parents, remind yourself on purpose of your children's humanity. Children, remind yourself on purpose your parents' humanity. Stay away from them because they're human. Don't fellowship with them because they're human. Go ahead, do it. But one of these days when you walk by that casket and you see that your daddy dead, I don't care. Doesn't matter. Yes, it will. I promise you, when you walk by that casket, it'll make a difference. Church members, remember that the staff is but dust. Why? Because it is a quality of God to remind Himself on purpose of our own humanity. And because fellowship is tied to that discipline. And so if you're to have proper fellowship, you must tie the same thing God does. You must tie the factor of dust and flesh in order for you to fellowship. You don't fellowship because they're perfect, because when you find out they do something to you, you'll drop them like a hot potato. You know, it's funny to me, you love them until they offend you. Now, they can offend everybody else in the world, but they're the greatest people in the world until they offend you. So when I get tired, God remembers I'm but dust. So when I get tired, God remembers that I get weary in this flesh. Hey, listen to me. When I get tired, God remembers that I'm but flesh and dust and fail. And God remembers that when I get a little cranky, God remembers, all right, he got a little cranky. Not me, but talking about you now. But the truth is, he's trapped in that flesh. God looks at a cursed humanity because of sin. And yet he wants that fellowship with that cursed humanity. And there's no way to get that fellowship unless God on purpose reminds himself that man is but dust. Now don't misunderstand. God is not happy when I fall, but he does discipline himself. Remember, I am but dust. God is not happy when I get a little cranky, but God reminds himself that I am but dust. God is not happy when I'm out of sorts, but God reminds himself that I am but dust. God is not happy when I blow it, but God reminds himself that I am but dust. And tonight, God is not happy when you sin, but God reminds himself that you are but dust. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our desire for fellowship with each other would be greater than the offense committed against us? Wouldn't it be wonderful? You daughters are missing out on your mother's love and time. You mothers are missing out on your daughter's time. You sons are missing out on your daddy's time, and you daddies are missing out with your son's time because you say, my son's an idiot. My son, well, that's okay. You're an idiot at his age too, but the truth of the matter is, you cannot be a good dad unless you realize that that boy is trapped in some flesh and he's nothing but dust. Once you have the fact in your mind of that, you can fellowship. But you can't fellowship without it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't consign someone to outer darkness because they disappointed us one time? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could remember that others are but dust? Oh, we want everybody to remember that about us when we blow it. Well, my friend, whatever is good for us is good for them. Brother Rasul came to me this week. I hope you don't mind me telling it. It's too late now. He's in tears, and he said, "Preacher, I blew it. I said something I shouldn't have said at a meeting." And he said, "I'm going to come to you, and I want to apologize. And I apologize to the people that I've said it to, and I'm deeply sorry." And I told Brother Rasul that people who want to do right are not going to pick on something like that and run with it, because they will remember that he's nothing but dust. Now, there's not much dust there. In fact, there's about as much dust in this jar as there is sitting in that chair. I think him and Brother Zinn both have AIDS. But the truth of the matter is, who hasn't blown it? Now, those of you who want to run with it, run with it. But you're telling off on yourself. You're flat telling off on yourself. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. Let me give a couple points here, and we're going to leave. Everyone has different strengths. Everybody. I don't care who you are. Number two, everybody has different weaknesses. So thus it makes sense then that everyone fails. Let me say it again. Everyone has different strengths. Everyone has different weaknesses. So it just makes sense then that everyone fails. So if that's the case and we're all failing, then we ought to have a little mercy on each other. one time in the middle of a sermon, I stopped and I hollered and called a kid's name, and it was the wrong kid. I had the right kid, but I had the wrong name. But anyway, they came to have services up north, and they said, "Preacher, you called such and such name in that sermon," and the kid was acting up in the service, and I called the wrong name. So it didn't bother me. I come back on Sunday night and just well apologize there as anywhere. Didn't bother me at all. And I told the folks, "Look, I'm sorry. I called the wrong name, then I called the right name." But it doesn't bother me. And I mean that. It doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't bother me at all to apologize to you. I haven't lost one bit of manhood by doing it. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't have to get my way. It doesn't matter. I mean that. Folks think I'm a dictator. I'm not a dictator. Brother Roloff said, "I'm not a dictator. I'm a duplicator. He's the dictator." But the truth of the matter is, I don't get my way most of the time with staff meetings. When we vote on things, I get voted down. I mumble and grumble about it, and my feelings get hurt. But I don't get my way. Because it's not my way. I want the mind of Christ. And we all pray together as a staff. We want the mind of Christ. I said everyone has different strengths. I said everyone has different weaknesses. If that be true, then everybody fails. So you think, boy, I'm stronger than this person. Well, you're also weaker than somebody else. Is anybody listening to me at all tonight? Statement number four. We easily see others' failures. We easily see others' failures. Very easy. Very easy for us to notice everybody else's dust, but not ours. You know, we are right all the time. You understand that, don't you? You understand that, don't you? We're all right all the time. You understand that? So we easily see others' failures. Very easy to. You point things, this isn't right, this isn't right, this isn't right. It's very easy to do that. We used to have a man here in this church, not here anymore. But he moved to Dallas. But every year he'd come in and see me. And he'd come in and he'd sit down and he'd tell me every scripture I misquoted and all the things I did wrong for the previous year. That was his appointment. That's what he did. That's what God called him to do. The secretary would say to me before he'd come in tears, you don't have to see him. Everybody knows what he does. You don't have to see him at all. You don't have to talk to him. And I said, no, I must see him. And so the man came in, sit down, and I'd write things down. Everything he'd said I'd done wrong, I'd write it down. And then every once in a while, he'd say something really, it hit me, man. It was like the Holy Spirit of God, and an arrow just went wham like that, and just, oh, man, chest pains, heart attack, it's over. And so as he would write, I would circle that one on the list. Of course, I wouldn't let him know it. I still have pride. And so I'd list all the other things, and when he'd left, I'd get on my knees, and I'd say, dear God, if you'll let me live tomorrow, I promise you I'll never do that again. You see, he would tell me what other people would not tell me. But you check most critics like that, they never prosper. But they are useful. They never get anything done. Never prosper. I was standing in this hallway with the staff. We were going to walk in. He walked up to me and said, you got a little curlicue in your hair right there. You need to get that out of there before you go preach. That's exactly what he told me over there. And I said, look, I've had a curling iron in that thing all day trying to get that curl there. Just petty little things. Just things that don't amount to a hill of beans. But God still used him to point out something that no one else would point out. Now, those people like that never accomplish anything. Never do a thing. But they're good for churches. Every church body needs a heel. May I say last of all, anybody can discipline themselves to remember that others are but dust. If God Himself, perfect, omnipotent, omniscient, if God Himself can pause and say, on purpose, I'm going to discipline myself to remind myself that you are but dust, then I think maybe you and I could do that. Maybe we could remember. So before you storm off from church and mad because Dane Matney said some smart aleck thing to you or somebody else, of course, it's always, people leave this church always because of Dane. And we had a church split 24 years ago trying to get rid of him. When the smoke cleared, he was still here. But somewhere in here, you're going to have to stop. Look, I'm just saying everybody has different strengths. Everybody has different weaknesses. Thus, everybody fails. Thus, everybody can then easily see others' failures. But anybody can discipline themselves to remember that others but dust. Okay, you don't list me. Just go ahead and shut me out and don't list me and tell me what kind of marriage you have. You go ahead and shut me out. Tell me what kind of relationship you have with your parents or your parents with your children. You go right ahead and shut the preacher out tonight. Shut the Word of God out and you won't have a good job. You won't be able to keep a job. You won't be able to stay in a church. You won't be able to keep a ministry. You won't be able to do a thing for God. You've got to have that God-like quality of saying, I've got to remember, but dust. Thank God He remembers that I am but dust. I've got these two spots in my right lung. I start out strong in the day, but about nighttime comes, and boy, I just start, my battery starts running. I don't have a diehard battery down. It just starts running down. My voice, I start losing my voice. It just starts down. Now, wait a minute. I say to God, I'm sorry. I'm not giving you what I was giving you a year ago. And God says to me, I remember, you're nothing but dust. Now, if God can remember that about me, then I'll remember that about you. I promise you, if you get yourself in trouble, you come into my office over there, I'll help you. I'm giving you my word. I promise you. We have never voted anybody out of this church. If we ever start voting people out to be non-tithers, I promise you that. But I promise you, I'll help you. You say, preacher, you get up there and scream, foam at the mouth and holler. Well, you better thank God somebody's warning you. You go to some liberal church that doesn't even believe the Bible is the Word of God, and guy's worried about his annuity and his retirement program and not going to preach a word to you. Yeah, you go right ahead. You just go right ahead and get offended easily and leave here, and you find out what happens. But somebody's going to have to remember, we're but dust. Okay, look, I knew you were human before I got to know you. And I remind myself that you are human after I got to know you. So when I get to know you, I'm not disappointed. I knew you were flesh before I got to know you. All right? Same thing. You say, I got close to a staff member, and boy, I found out that staff member was not what he appeared to be. None of us are what we appear to be. I came here one night and had a sock stuck up here because I couldn't find a stupid handkerchief to match the stupid suit, so I put a sock up here. And I was talking about things aren't what they appear to be, and so I pulled that sock out. And I said, you thought it was a handkerchief. It wasn't a handkerchief. It was a sock. I couldn't find a handkerchief. David Ring preaches a sermon. I'm not a David Ring fan, but he preaches a sermon where he starts out with a suit on like this, and he says things aren't what they appear to be. He takes it off, and he's got a shirt that's in shreds. Got a tie that will appear like this, but the tie is cut off down here. And it looked good, but things weren't what they appear to be. No, none of us are. He said, we all live what you preach. Have you ever tried that? Has anybody ever tried that? You ought to practice what you preach. Let's try that. Let's all try that. Let's all work at it. But when we fail, let's not get upset and get mad about it. Let's remember that each of us are nothing but dust. Somebody say amen to me. Until we do, we'll never have real relationships. Never will. Never will. Never will. You Sunday school teachers get mad. You professors get mad. Kick that kid out of college. Kick him out of that. Oh, shut up. I'm sorry. Shuttest thou mouth. We're just nothing. I'd like to go back to some of you adults and look, see what you were like when you were teenagers. You pious folks. And you, by the way, you folks that don't have, you got little bitty ones and now you're mad at everybody else because the way their teenagers act around here. Truth is, when you don't know yet until your kid becomes a teenager, and somebody ought to have a little mercy on somebody else, and somebody ought to have a little forgiveness. Remember. I got a note this morning and said, so-and-so came back to church. How dare they come back to this church? And I cornered that person this afternoon and I said to them, you shut up. You be quiet. You thank God they're coming to church here. You thank God they're coming. You thank God they're coming here. You keep your mouth shut. But by the grace of God, that'd be you to pull a stunt like that. Somebody help me now. Everybody ought to be welcome to come back. We're just here to cause trouble. Well, at least they're here. Somebody ought to be like God. Got a new word for you. Christian vocabulary. Get your pen out. New word, and we're going to unclose. New word. Are you ready? New word. Here it is. Christian. Let's write it down. Christian. It's a new word. You ought to try practicing this week. It's called being a Christian. It's called being Christ-like. Being Christ-like. Now, listen, if I follow your logic, you wouldn't even be saved. If I followed your logic, I wouldn't be saved because Christ saved sinners. God didn't come to save the righteous. God came to save the sinners. And somebody somewhere quit getting upset with humanity. They were human before you got upset. I don't like the way a deacon so-and-so. Well, I don't either. But I don't like the way you're criticizing what he's doing wrong either. I'm just saying, let's remember that we're but dust. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Everybody standing, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.